Well, hello everybody. It is lovely, lovely to see you all. We're going to spend a little bit of time now just thinking about that passage that Alice read for us. And it's a passage that is full of these wonderful promises. Promises about a child who's going to be born, about a son who is going to be given. But I want to focus on one particular promise right at the beginning of that passage. The passage begins by saying that the people who are in darkness, people living a hard life, a life in darkness, will see a great light. I guess the picture is kind of like life and the world. It's like a long, long tunnel, but wonderfully, there is light at the end of the tunnel. What Isaiah is promising is that one day it's not just going to be dark, 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 dark forever, but there's going to be a light. And light, it's wonderful, isn't it? I don't know if you know this, if you agree with me, kids. My three children love playing with the light switch on and off and on and off. But we love it, light, don't we? We get drawn to light in a darkness. It's lovely to go and see the Christmas lights all around the town, isn't it? And we know, don't we, that light, it's a good thing. You don't ever hear of people being afraid of the light, do you? So light is a good thing, and darkness, we know instinctively, it's a bad thing. And adults, we've heard a lot about darkness this year, haven't we? It's what Boris keeps talking about, doesn't it? This vaccine, he says, is going to be light at the end of the tunnel. We're promised that there is hope, that this pandemic will come to an end. And I guess in lots of ways, what 2020 has done for us is confronted us with the brokenness and the sadness of this world. And it's not just the virus, actually, is it? We've seen a whole load of other injustices and awful things happen this year. And actually, one of the things I love about the Bible, whenever I read it, is just that it's so realistic. The Bible doesn't pretend that life is wonderful and light and rainbows and shining fun all of the time. The Bible doesn't promise that trusting God means that your life is going to be perfect and easy. You're going to float through this life without a care. But what the Bible does promise is hope. The Bible promises that there is going to be a light in the darkness. And when I say hope, I don't mean kind of a silly hope, like I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow, or maybe I hope it snows tomorrow. No, a real hope, a hope based on something true. And what we celebrate at Christmas is that light that Isaiah was speaking about hundreds of years before Jesus was born has come. We celebrate Jesus, who is the light of the world. And he comes actually to bring hope where there was no hope. He comes to bring smiling and laughter where there was only tears and despair. Kids, wouldn't that be wonderful to live in a world where there is no pain and no sadness and no crying and no tears? Well, that's what we celebrate with Jesus' birth at Christmas time. It's the coming of the one who brings hope, a light in the darkness. Oh, no. Sorry, everyone. This is my little brother, Nick. I don't want to ask this. What are you doing?
Well, it's Christmas Eve. It's when we usually have fruit in the church, isn't it? With the candle in it.
What are you on about?
Well, like last year we had oranges and they had like candles shoved in the top. And we did that the year before. And we also did that the year before
we're not doing that this year. We can't, it's not COVID safe to hand out oranges to everyone. We're not doing the fruit thing.
Well,
and you can't just choose any old fruit that you like. It's got to be an orange. Like, it's obvious why we have an orange on Christmas Eve.
No.
And you shove a candle in the top. Like, that's obvious. But how are you going to explain anything about Jesus dressed as a banana? Come on, mate.
I have thought about this. Just like you said, right? World was a sad and dark place. Christmas, we can be happy.
Remarkably, somehow, That is not the most unhelpful thing you've ever said.
I know.
Well, thank you. That is essentially my point that I was making to the people. That because of Christmas, where there was once sadness, there can now be the right way around banana and joy. Do you want to go get yourself changed?
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I better hand over to Kate. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tom. I guess my question is, you know, the words of that song that we just played together are about joy to the world. And I've been speaking, haven't I, about light in the darkness. And I guess normally at Christmas, joy and light are very, very easy to see, aren't they? They're kind of everywhere. We're all super excited all of the time. But is there any reason to actually be hopeful and joyful this Christmas time? Or is it just wishful thinking? Well, I think there is. And the reason is that bit of the Bible we've just had read for us, actually. See, the claim of the Bible, simply, is that God loves this world. Did you hear that in the reading? For God so loved the world. And when it says the world, actually, it doesn't just mean that God loves the hunk of rock that flies around the sun that we call home. No, when the Bible talks about the world, it talks about the people of the world. The claim of the Bible is that God loves us. He loves the human beings who live in this world, which is pretty astonishing, isn't it? Whether you're 2 or 92, the idea that the God of the universe, who made stars and planets and galaxies, the idea that that God loves us should make our heads explode. It really should. But actually, how do we know whether God really loves us or not? How do you know if that's true? Well, the answer, actually, is one of these. What have I got here? Yeah, Nyla? Pardon? What have I got here? There were no what's... A present. Absolutely right. Now, everyone, you can join in with this. Put your hands up if you are hoping to get one of these tomorrow. Keep your hands up if you're planning to give one of these tomorrow. Yes, of course we are. And the reason we're going to do that, the reason we're going to give and exchange presents, is because it's a way we show people that we love each other, the way we care about each other. And the claim of the Bible is that God has given us a magnificent gift, the most wonderful gift ever. And because he has given us this most wonderful gift ever, we can never actually look at God and accuse him of not loving us. We can always look back at that present that he's given us and go, wow, that is proof that he loves us. I mean, if you look at the verse, you might just be able to see it on the next slide. That he gave his one and only son. We celebrate a baby at Christmas, don't we? And all babies are special. That is true. But the Christmas baby is a baby like no other, because he was God's one and only son. God took a look at this world, which, like we said earlier, is pretty dark and pretty messed up in lots of ways. And he said, no, I'm going to not leave it like that. I'm sending my son to sort it out. And that's exactly what he did. The Lord Jesus, as he came, I mean, this really happened. Every scrap of history confirms that Jesus of Nazareth really existed and really was a remarkable man, whatever else you might think about him. And the eyewitness accounts of his life that we find in the Bible speaks about him going around doing remarkable things everywhere he went, sorting out sickness, pain, even curing death. And that's not just true for people 2,000 years ago who happened to meet Jesus. That's just a little sample of his promises, which are for everyone. That's the promise in the verse that we're thinking about today. He came that anyone at all who believes in him shall not die, shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's an incredible promise, isn't it? And it's a promise that's worth thinking about in a year like this. If this horrible enemy, if something as awful as death, really can be solved. There really is an answer to it. That's worth thinking about. Because I don't want to give spoilers away for Easter time, but this Jesus who we celebrate being born at Christmas, he grows up, he dies on a cross in Jerusalem, in a real time, in a real place, and 3 days later, he really walks from that grave alive. In a real time, in a real place, he conquered death. And that kind of gift of Christmas, of hope, of life, it really is a gift. Now, kids, you've already told me that you're hoping to get a present tomorrow. Could you put your hands up if you are preparing to pay your parents or your grandparents for the present? None of you are going to pay your parents for the present they're going to give you. Of course you're not. That would be mad, wouldn't it? You don't pay for gifts. Gifts are given to you for free. And that's exactly the same as God with this wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus. He doesn't want us to repay him, but he does want us to believe in him, to trust him, and to love him. That's all I'm going to say. Jesus, he is the greatest gift of all. He is a light shining in the darkness, offering hope and offering life. Oh. You're back.
Aren't you glad to see me?
I'm not glad to see you, no.
Oh.
I was just finishing. I was just about to pray. So if you could just roll yourself.
No. So I thought about what you said to me earlier, and I really thought I would do the orange thing in the end.
No, I don't know that you did really think about what I said. I think I remember saying that we weren't doing the whole fruit thing this year.
Well, if it was up to you, we wouldn't have any fruit at Christmas, and that's a real shame, because on Christmas Eve we always have oranges, and I think everyone else wants to see at least one orange on Christmas, don't you? Yeah, so.
All right. But you've got it wrong. You're just an orange. We don't just kind of look at an orange on Christmas Eve normally, do we? We don't just think, oh, look, it's a bit like the shape of the world. You're missing something quite important.
Well, I'm not actually done yet. Well, if you...
Can you even bend over to get in that bag?
Here we go. Wait.
Oh, that's...
Jesus, the light of the world, isn't he?
That's pretty unimpressive, I have to say. That's not really giving me any sense of
right.
Jesus, the shining light, going to bring hope to all mankind.
Well, what about this then?
No, what are you doing? No, don't set yourself on fire. No, that's not safe. Blow it out now. Blow it out now. It is a bit too hot, isn't it? Right. Enough of that.
No. There is something. You've got to give me a second. Give me a second.
I'll give you a second. I don't want to give you a second. These people want to go and enjoy their Christmas Eve lunches. What are you doing? Come back. Or don't stay away. Whatever you... That, in fairness, that is more impressive. Does it actually... Does it do anything else?
At least be patient. Watch.
All right, then. You stand there. And look shiny.
Yeah.
Okay? Because actually that isn't that unhelpful, because you've got your big light on the top of your head. Jesus, remember, he's the light of the world. Come to offer hope and to offer life. Thanks for your help, actually. Should we pray?
Yeah, let's do it.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can celebrate him at Christmas time, the hope and the light in a dark world. Amen.
Amen. And Father, thank you that we can have fun at Christmas. And help us to remember the joy we can have because of Jesus on Christmas. Amen.
Amen.